765-6000.
Welcome to part two in the history of telephone entertainment. And the history of telephone entertainment takes a step forward as we progress towards present day. Continue right where we left off with my interview of Bob from Z.
Do you still have your counter attached?
Sure do.
How many calls are you receiving daily these days?
Well, it depends on the length of the recording. It depends on the loop. We have a series of tapes that run on a cartridge. Let's assume there's 8 or 9 tapes on that loop of tape, that cartridge of tape. If they're each 1 minute long, then you have 8 minutes worth of recorded material. If they're each 2 minutes long, you have less chance for more callers to get in.
Right.
So it averages about 1,100 to 1,400 calls per day, which at the length of the recordings we have, we just can't get many more in. We're I'd say at 98% capacity. There's very little time that line isn't busy, and that's generally between 2 and 6 a.m.
What would you say the chances are of someone going to their phone and just once dialing Z and getting through?
According to the Bell system, to the phone company, who did a study on this last year sometime from a computer in New Jersey, the chance of going to a phone and dialing Z and getting through are 1 in 97.
So in other words, if you're the average person, you dial 97 times, you'll finally get through.
That's correct. Assuming you call the normal calling hours. Okay, if the odds change dramatically if you try calling like at 3:30 in the morning.
Right.
For us, 97 calls get through.
Yeah.
If you try from like 7 a.m. to like midnight.
Yeah.
On any given day, from anywhere in the country. Now, the study was made from Connecticut or New Jersey or somewhere on the East Coast. It took 97 attempts to get through with the average. I don't know how they came to that figure. That's their figure.
Do you figure you're getting calls from all over the country?
Oh, most definitely. All over the world.
What would you guess the average age of the callers would be?
I have really no idea.
What age would you say the tapes were intended for?
Our age, at the time we made them, which was, we were in our late teens and early 20s.
Okay.
It was entertaining to us. We got a kick out of them when we made them, and like I say, then we were anywhere from the group 19, 20, 21 years old. So I guess that was the age group we intended them for. And depending on when you call, like right now I answered the line live, I'd most likely get someone who was school age, junior high school or grammar school. If I answer the phone, the Z line, between like 8 a.m. and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll get secretaries at work and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We've had disc jockeys call from almost every major radio station in the country and play the tape to their listeners. So, I guess it's pretty much a general audience.
Why was the study with the computer made by the phone company?
The Bell system does a nationwide check of every single telephone line in the country once a year. To check and see if that number should have more than one phone line attached to it, because it's their customers or callers are having trouble getting through.
How many lines is attached to yours?
One.
Uh-huh. That's all it needs.
Well, I'd like to get more, but at the moment we're selling for one.
What do you see for the future of Z?
Right now it's really up in the air. I'm moving in about a month out of the Culver City calling area, so it's either going to be disconnected at that point or moved somewhere else. I really don't know. It's pretty much up in the air. Next few weeks will be the determining factor.
No, this interview was conducted in late 1979, and Z did not go down a couple weeks later. And now it's time in this history of telephone entertainment to take a breather and take a sampling of what people have said in response to the question, who are some of the people that made a significant contribution to the world of telephone entertainment in terms of time, money, or any other kind of dedication?
Well, let's see. I think we'd have to give Brian Feedback an award for, let's see, I don't know what you'd call it. For sustained interest, because he had some of the longest tapes.
After Z came another joke line, simply called It.
Yeah. It was just a little joke, something like Z, but it had its own little style with a different sound. I mean, it's just like Flip and Z are similar, but they still have a little bit of a different sound.
And there was one called It, and they were all the basically standard type joke line with a little one-minute routine.
Also available at the time to phone freaks was a joke line called R.
I think the one that I remember the most vividly was one called R, which was a takeoff on Z. It was run by a little kid up in Palisades somewhere, Pacific Palisades, who basically just tried to copy Z with what sounded like a Crown-type answering machine or a Radio Shack-type answering machine, quality-wise. And it was, you know, as they say, imitation is the best form of flattery. This was very flattering because it was not a good imitation, but it was an obvious imitation. Mm-hmm. And we were more laughing at him than with him because it was very funny to hear that particular recording. That's the only one that I can remember, not good or bad, it's the only one I can remember. There have been a lot of recordings that have come and gone in the last 10 years, which is how long we've been doing Z. And in those 10 years, I couldn't begin to tell you the number of recordings. Most of them come and go so fast that by the time I find out about them, they're just on their way out. Kids do them for summer vacation, and when school starts, they get a bad grade, and their mother makes them stop it. Or they can't afford doing it for some reason or other. The price gets too high. That's basically, you know, what happens with them.
Next pops up one of the early comment lines. Ask Mike of Montage if there were a lot of comment lines in that period.
Very few comment lines. Dave Glendale ran one, and it didn't have a name. And it was in Glendale, and it was unique because it was probably one of the first lines that had variety like I do. In fact, that's what gave me my idea for my line later.
Throughout the history of telephone lines, there have been many joke lines that have called themselves Dial a Joke. And Alec Conference explains his experiences with Dial a Joke.
First number of Dial a Joke, which was 88-1234. Between the busy signals,
And then
I started getting people's phone numbers, and it went from there.
Called the Valley version of Dial-A-Joke, which a friend of mine in college was running.
This now brings us to the end of phase one of the history of telephone entertainment, the tape being divided up into different phases, the first being from the beginning of telephone entertainment through Funphone in 1972, the second phase going from Funphone in 72 to Feedback in 76, and the third going from Feedback in 76 until 1980.
And then Mark Raker, who ran Sounding Board in Philadelphia, which was an all-around original, most definitely different and unique. I keep using that word unique, but it fits everything I've said. Comment line ever, which is why I ran Foreign Exchange on the Mondays, my foreign exchange tapes from Sounding Board. I mean, sure, Mark had his ego problems and had his differences with people out here, but you gotta admit, the guy was, you know, he ran a line that was definitely, I mean, it wasn't interesting to a lot of people out here, but it was different. It had its own, and it had its own following back there.
One of the more popular lines, which spanned from 1972 to 1977 with ups and downs, was Shoka's Hotline and Funphone.
Funphone's different. I think you have to be the characters. Stu really brought out the characters well in Funphone. And I always liked that part of it. It was different. I don't know how you could say what exactly you could call it. It was patterned, I guess, after a situation comedy show. a lot of times they use I Love Lucy music and things like that, so I think that gives you some idea where its roots came from. The line, I don't know. I don't know. I always enjoyed it, though.
I did not hear Fun Phone in the early 70s. Surprisingly, even though I lived in the valley and called lines like the main line and Superphone, which I have tapes of, that's a good quality, and the lines that were beginning to originate in the valley, I never even knew of Fun Phone.
So, yeah.
I heard Fun Phone when it came back the second time in 75.
And what did you think of it at the time?
I thought it was unique because it was more or less like a situation comedy routine that would be on TV, but it was on the phone. The tapes were longer than the short little, maybe 30 seconds to 1 minute little routines that you hear on a joke line.
Now that you run a line, looking back on it, what do you think of it?
I still think it was very creative. I think a lot of it involved around the joke line characters. And I think the script writing was pretty good. And I still don't think it was bad. In fact, I still listen to it a lot when feedback plays it.
I think that Fun Phone was quite good. I still think it's quite good. And I think the longer he does the writing for the skits, the better he gets. He's very, Stu, that is, he's very natural in his parts. He would make, I think, a really great actor. He, of course, wants to pursue writing. But quite frankly, I think he should pursue acting. Of course, like Jeffy. Jeffy has been going to acting school. And I love the Fun Phone skits. I'm glad that they are being syndicated on Feedback.
What did you think of the line when it was up?
Well, the line itself, I came in toward the end when he was just about to take it down. But as I said, I think it was quite good. I think he has been the only one that's been able to successfully have a mailbag where people write in, where he got a ample amount of letters, which was something unique that no one else has been able to do.
Whoa! This ain't Chicago, but this is close. This is Fun Phone at 990 for a good day. The 15th of February, we're halfway through February, maybe a little bit more, and we have nine letters to read this week. The address for next week, Fun Phone Mailbag, Post Office Box, Evan, Van Nuys, California, 91409. Sean of Northridge, your jokes were not good enough to play this week. We have too many other letters, which I'm happy to say are very good letters this week. And our first letter is from Ed of Mar Vista. And let's see what Ed has to say. Dear Stewhead, that's just Stu, not Stewhead. Last week, I wrote in asking for a number of a local party line. I called the number you mentioned, but there was no answer. Please give me another number. Okay, 9906. Here's a new joke number. If you want a Polish joke, dial Polish Q. Very funny. That's all for now. Goodbye. Okay, who we got here? We went through these letters awful fast. We went through six letters already. Woo! Maybe Sean of Garbage's jokes will be read tomorrow after all. We're going to have some time, it looks like. This is from... This letter is too long. We've got a minute left on mailbag, so we'll save this one for tomorrow. We need some letters for tomorrow. Here's a letter. Brian of Sherman Oaks. Brian of Sherman Oaks. Dear Stu, I really like the skit when Oscar Molloy perfected his invention called Dial and Shout. I also like the chipmunk song at the end of the skit. I'd like to know where to get those chipmunk records you have, but could you please answer me in a letter, and in the letter, could you send me a list of shows I can get tickets to? I'm really busy with school. If you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, it'll take a couple of minutes to write it down, but, send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and then I'll be obligated to do that, okay? But I won't do anything until I hear from you again. Stu, I have a line I found out about, which I called Brian, and it's been disconnected. I have to go now as Albert H. says goodbye, Aspreth. Yours truly, Brian of Sherman Oaks. I thank you for that letter, brand new caller, and hope you enjoyed this edition of Mailbag. Pretty good letters, and we'll have some more pretty good letters tomorrow.
I think that the line itself was quite humorous, which is that was, you know, the whole meaning of the name of it is, you know, Fun Phone. So, and it is a lot of fun. And I'm sorry to see that it had to go down because of a certain person with the third-party billings. And I did at one point discuss this with Stu. I told him that maybe he should give out the person's phone number and name. Most people know who it was.
Fun Phone is the topic of conversation as the history of telephone entertainment continues.
It's been very good. It was very good entertainment. So it did a very good job with it. I was on Swift, and
had a quality that hasn't been duplicated yet. He changed his tapes every day. He put a lot into them, and it was just a very, very well-regulated line. It's something that the phone world has not seen again, and will not.
Fun Phone Production Number 116, for whom Ma Bell told. Taping to BA. Taping on June 17, 1978. Playing back whenever the fuzzhead decides to. And we will now begin. So let us have some quiet. We're all a little rusty.
I thought he was on the
some show.
Yeah, that's right.
With Brian Feedback regarding his work on certain Fun Phone tapes. The interview, I believe, is such that no editing is necessary, therefore you will be hearing the interview in full. Bill, that in some of the later Fun Phone tapes, you were in them.
Right.
How were the working conditions during those tapes? Was it fun to do them, or was it work, or what happened?
The first session I went to, let's see, what did we have? We had, how many fun phone tapes? There were five at first, and then five more, and then there was a special. Yeah. Okay, the first five new ones, when I attended the recording session, it was absolutely the most hilarious thing I've ever been to. I mean it. I mean, the fun phone tapes, sure, are not that funny, but the recording set, a lot of times, I really just can't explain it. I was rolling on the floor sometimes of the things they do. Of course, I was new to that.
New to
being in a fun recording session.
Well, what are some examples of things they did that were funny?
Oh, gee, I can't remember. And it's that old saying, you have to be there. And things I might even remember I could repeat. And you kind of go, huh? So it's just the thing where you have to be involved in it and you have to be there. The second group of five that we did was a little less exciting. I think a lot of people were edgy that night, and it really wasn't a very good recording session, although it did have its moments too. And then the final recording session, of course, was for the 30-minute special Fun Phone tape, the one where Fluke returns, and that one was done entirely different. It was not done all in one day. Everyone did separate parts. We were all there at different times. We were never all there together.
Did you find, you did five tapes in one at one time for the first two?
Right.
Did you find that as you got, at first it was good, and then as you got on towards the fourth and fifth tape, it got to be a little monotonous and a little boring?
Well, it always depends on the script.
Uh-huh.
And we did them in the order that they were written, and that's always the order that they were. So sometimes they were lousy, sometimes they were good. Of course, everyone gets tired later towards the evening. I don't think the energy dropped at all.
So did you think it was hard to do them?
Hard to do fun phone tapes?
Yeah.
Not for me. For me,
could anybody do it, or did it take a special person? Or
in the first five, the parts I played were cameos, and the biggest part I had in the first five was in the first of the first five, which was For Whom Ma Bell Tolls, in which I played a gay service representative at Pacific Telephone. That was my biggest part there. Yet, in the others, they were just small parts. And the thing is that over the years of Fun Phone, the characters had been developed. And, of course, it took a special, I think it might have taken a special breed to actually fit into the Fun Phone sitcoms.
This is a hard question, but who do you think that was in the recording sessions enjoyed it most?
Stu, probably himself, Mr. Ego, what can I say?
Do you think that he did a better job than the other people?
Stu probably thought he always did a better job. No, that's awful to say. Stu wrote the tapes, and he knew what he wanted from them. He was always the first to get upset, of course, and the first to be the clown. So he feels that the last tape, the special 30-minute Fluke, what was it called? The Visit from Fluke, that's it. He thought that one was the best of all of them as far as production goes. Other people tend to differ, think differently.
What about the other people, like Fluke and Uncle Jeffy?
Well, Jeffy, and here we go with that word again, is a unique person. No, he's really neat. I liked Uncle Jeffy. Or I will just refer to him as Jeffy. He, of course, sounds totally different using his real voice than he does with Jeffy. Jeffy is an entirely different character from the real Jeffy. Who else was there? There is Fluke, who I had a chance to meet in the last tape. I had met him prior to that tape, but really don't know Fluke that well. But a very nice person.
Were you there while Ronnie Tarzana was doing tape?
Ronnie was there. Ronnie too was he's a thespian, a theater major, as I was in school. And so that was his line of fun, too.
What about...
He was not in the last tape, the Visit from Fluke. And then there's M Squared, and well, if you're going to talk about clowns, well, he was second in line as being for being a clown at a recording session. And a lot of the stuff that was on Fun Phone tapes that was ad-libbed by M Squared. And a lot of it may have been inside jokes, but then a lot of it was funny stuff, which was then, after he ad-libbed it during a rehearsal, was adapted to the final script and the final takes. He had this thing for chopping up Stu's humor and making it better.
Were there a lot of rehearsals?
No. When we did Fun Phone tapes, the scripts were passed out. We'd read through them once and then go through it. Of course, you wouldn't just go through the tape without any stops. There'd be stops to cue up sound effects and music bridges and stuff like that there. But we only would read through it once to get the feel of the script, and then it would be done.
The average tape was how long?
Well, prior to...
The 30-minute, yeah.
Well, yeah, originally on Fun Phone, they were from 6 to 12 minutes because the equipment that Stu was using... He was using cassette output, which, of course, you can only use for 6-minute loops or 12-minute loops.
Mm-hmm.
So if a tape was like 7 minutes, he would have a 7-minute tape, and then it would have 75 minutes of timeout music.
Yeah.
Which was kind of a drag, whereas when it went to feedback, I'm using cartridges, so they can be cut to any length.
Okay, so for this, let's assume that most of them are about 6 or 7 minutes. Now, how long did it take to tape that?
It depended entirely on the script.
Average.
I really can't say. It would take For a 6-minute tape, it might take a half hour, it might take an hour. If we stopped, if there was too much fooling around and we were all having a great time, you'll also notice that in the new ones, the 11 new tapes, or I should say the first 10, there was no 12-minute time limit. Most of them, in fact, were over 12 minutes. Well, the first five, I take that back, the first five new ones were about 12 minutes each. The second five new ones were all over 12 minutes. They were like 12 to 15 minutes each, which were the longest fun phone tapes ever. And, of course, the special planned 30-minute special.
My interview with Brian will continue on the next tape when Brian discusses Albert A's role in fun phone tapes.